And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters Tech Tuesday on 89.1 FM. That's right. Susan Burns is here once again. And Susan, we're doing it a little differently this week.
Well, a little bit, because see, Sean, there was this little football game on Sunday, and which was, you know, I liked the warm-up on Saturday of that basketball game.
Oh, yeah, that little game. Yeah. I'm a Ball State guy, so.
Well, some of us had a basketball game and then a football game, and there was... Of course, you know, the football game's gotten a lot of talk, but there's other stuff that went on that day that we want to have a chance to talk about, too, and that's the advertising.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll lead off with who won the ad game and a whole lot of other topics orbiting around that. A bit later on, we may get into some other tech news, Facebook graph search we were talking about, along with a few other topics. That's later in the show, though. First, we want to introduce our guests for this hour.
Yes, and we have... our regular on Tech Tuesdays, Kevin Mullett from Cirrus ABS. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
And stepping in for Anthony Giuliano of Asher, we have a new recruit, Ashley Motia, who's got this great advertising world title with lots of slashes. She's social media strategist / copywriter / account supervisor for the Asher agency. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
Is that all you do over there? They couldn't pile more titles onto you?
Don't give them any ideas.
And of course, we want our listeners to join the conversation this hour as well. If you have a question or a comment, you want to be a part of the conversation, share your thoughts with us. It's 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters.
It is. And let's start out, Sean, with Kevin. You had some interesting categories, and I think it'd be fun to have our listeners call in to see who they nominate for some of those categories.
All right. Well, let's start with favorite, funniest, and for those of you that are advertising aficionados, the most likely to be effective. And I think that's where we're going to go, you know, part of the way to here today is, you know, it's one thing to laugh and enjoy a commercial, be entertained. But at the end of the day, these commercials are there to elicit business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to know which ones were the most effective. We'll go ahead and we'll leave out, well, you can call in if you want, which one you hated the most, because I think that's fairly universal. But go ahead and let us know. Favorite, funniest, most likely to be effective. And the one that you loathed.
Absolutely. And you're right on that. I think the most hated, probably Universal, and probably the same company for the last few years.
GoDaddy.
As well. Whatever your opinions, whatever your rankings, we want you to share them with us. The number one more time, 260-452-1185. And let's start this conversation. I want to poll both of you. What would you put into those categories, Kevin? Let's start with Ashley then.
Oh man!
Your favorite commercial, the funniest commercial, and the most effective.
I would say my favorite would be the Anheuser-Busch horse and trainer. The that really resonated with me because I grew up on a horse farm. So it really brought me to tears. And the funniest I would say would be the Tide Miracle Stain commercial, that just because of it played on the gender differences and the team rivalries, and it was just really hilarious with the twist at the end of it.
And this was a commercial where there was a stain on a jersey that looked like a Joe Montana,
right?
I believe it was, and it got washed away, unfortunately.
By a Ravens fan.
By a Ravens fan. And most effective?
Oh, most effective. I'm with Kevin. You know, it's all well and good to have a good time with a commercial, but a lot of times advertising comes off as you remember the commercial, but not really what it was trying to sell you, what the brand was. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of people and commercials that kind of bring in what they're selling into the humor. So probably the one that resonates for me would be the Miracle Stain or... The Doritos goat for sale commercial, because the product is in the commercials. It's there. It's very prominent. So, as much as I like that, the Anheuser-Busch commercial about the horse trainer, it's, you remember the Clydesdales. You don't really remember. Oh, beer.
You're going with goats on this one.
Yeah, I'm going with goats.
Kevin Mullet, how about you?
Yeah, my favorite overall was God Made a Farmer with Paul Harvey. You know, I was in a room of about 12 people, and literally everybody became silent. And in speaking with a few other people that I know that were at different parties, that same phenomenon happened there. And it was not just with old fogies like myself who remember Paul Harvey. He is just that powerful. So we can talk later about whether it was borrowed or you know, so forth. But for me, that was my favorite commercial. That was also the commercial that I'm glad that I didn't see ahead of time, because it would have been ruined. The effect would have been ruined if I was seeing it ahead of time. The funniest, I waffled between Oreo, because I actually really dug that one, Tide, which seems to be a pretty good winner for a lot of demographic, and Respect the Tech, which just spoke to me, which was the RAV, the Kia one.
Yeah.
So,
and this is where a robot beats up on somebody looking at a car.
Yeah, I mean, he kicks the car, and you know, that's technology, and she's a robot, and technology, and she takes offense to that. Likely to be most effective to me was the Mercedes Soul commercial with William Dafoe, and that one really boils down to it was funny. You know, it had a humorous end. It really sucked you in from a engaging standpoint. Like, where's this going? How's this going to play out? Is he going to sell out? It was very targeted to the correct audience. And so I have a feeling that because of those, and because it had the product in it, and at the end, it shows 29,000 whatever. And I think that if you were in the market for a car of that type of vehicle, that you would say, I can have a Mercedes for under 30 grand. You know, I think that's the resonating piece there. And so for me, that was the one that probably they would see a sales lift from.
And we should explain, that was a rather, it seemed like a rather long commercial, actually, maybe a 60-second spot where a fellow's about to make a deal with the devil for a Mercedes and everything that goes along with it.
By the way, kudos to Mercedes for picking William Dafoe, because, I mean, I'm if somebody's going to be Lucifer, it should be William Dafoe. He plays that well.
Yeah, I love the smoke poof at the end.
Exactly.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. Tartar sauce. But I really think that at the end of the day, it had the calls to action in it. It had, you know, it had the right trappings to be an effective commercial. The second best one, I'll throw one in there, I think was cars.com, because it was very funny. It scored really well in the group that I was in. People laughed at the wolf, you know, coming in, the mother wolf coming in and to protect her young. But this giant car comes at you at the end of the commercial, and I even did an impromptu question on Twitter afterwards. People remembered that it was something about cars.com, or at least cars. And a lot of these commercials, you get done, and you don't have the foggiest idea what it's about.
I want to move to the social media end of this in just a moment, but we mentioned at the top of the show, one of the more reviled ads, of course, was GoDaddy, but Ashley Motia, at the end of the day, we're talking about the GoDaddy commercial. To an extent, isn't that ad being effective anyway?
Yeah, it harkens back to, you know, is there any such thing as, you know, bad PR? And actually, I saw some statistics that said that the day after that commercial aired, the day after the Super Bowl, their sales have just skyrocketed. Hosting sales are up 45%. .com domain sales are up 40%. So, I mean, as much as people hated those commercials, it was effective.
Can we talk briefly about ads that we saw that just were water? They weren't exciting. They weren't offensive. Really, just basically ineffective. I think my nomination would go probably towards some of the Budweiser spots. We saw that what I thought were very bizarre kind of spots, pitching a new beer to what looked like a wealthy demographic.
Yeah. Are you thinking of the Mojo commercials where the guys...
Yeah, I was thinking of the black...
It's the black ads, yes.
I'm with you on this one. I just left shaking my head on both the the ones with Stevie Wonder and with the black beer. And I'm like, what? Now I'm supposed to go out and buy black pants and black shirts and that's and hang out at swanky clubs and drink black beer? And I don't understand this.
Right.
So yeah. I also think that there were a few, like, for example, there was the, I didn't even write it down, the Gildan or, Gildan, I think, the T-shirt or the material. I don't even remember what it was. Something about shirts and material. And I'm like, what is this doing here? What is the call to action? Am I buying a shirt from you? Or are you trying to speak to the people who make shirts with our product that resell that, you know, like, this is good. There was some of the Subway ones were just kind of, although the Subway 15-year winning streak one, with,
celebrating their spokesperson, yeah. Jared,
That one got some good talk. So, but the February anything just fell flat. The pistachios, Gangnam Style, that was, so 2012. We're over that. It's 2013 now. So anyway, yeah, there's several that fell flat for me. Yeah.
We do want to hear from our listeners this hour, too. We're talking during this part of the show about who won the ad game during the Super Bowl. And we'd love to hear what your favorites were, what you thought were the funniest ads, the most offensive, or ones that were just didn't get you there, the boring ones as well. 260-452-1185 or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Of course, you can always tweet us at Midday Matters. We have our Facebook page up as well, and you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Have a tweet here from Fred. Fred says, I hated the GoDaddy commercial, but it definitely created buzz. People are talking, isn't that the goal, and doesn't that equal a win? Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that GoDaddy has continued for a very long time of doing these offensive commercials that basically get people throwing up their hands and waving them around, and all the time they're amplifying GoDaddy's message. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, Ashley put it perfectly. There's, you know, no PR is bad PR. Calvin Klein, oddly enough, in the crowd that I was sitting in, every lady in the room started ooh la la-ing, and every guy in the room absolutely piped down. So, you know, even though, yeah, so, I mean, it kind of goes both ways on that.
Yeah, and in the, I was kind of doing a Facebook party kind of scene with that and some of the guys on Facebook posted, yeah, there I am. Do you like my commercial? So yeah.
The only person that won really during the GoDaddy commercial, let's be honest, was what was the kid's name? Wilford, whatever the kids that had to do 56 takes.
All right.
To get that right. I mean,
the kissing one.
Yeah, the kiss from GoDaddy. So.
Susan, before in preparation for this show, you brought up an interesting story that kind of generated discussion among this group. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a newsletter from a sort of an ad industry online site that speculated about what if they didn't spend all the money on TV and went with social media, and some of the potential for using your money more wisely. And I tossed it out there because I know Kevin and Ashley think about such things in their social media strategy world. And I just wondered what you thought of some of those alternative ways to spend money. And maybe this is also sort of jamming a lot into one question, but one of my favorites of the whole night, Super Bowl night, was the Oreo capturing the moment. And Ashley, Kevin, who wants to take that first?
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, that is a lot packed into one. But, you know, I think that every advertiser has to ask, you know, is this the right place to spend my money? You know, GoDaddy asks that question and says, yes, every time that I make people mad, we have an uptick in sales. So, yes, we're going to do that again. They have to add where other opportunities exist that would provide equal results with less spend. So I have to believe that, you know, these advertisers are looking at it and somehow tracking I'd like to believe that they're tracking the overall lift that they can attribute to these commercials. The ones that we see come back year after year, I certainly hope that it's not just based off of belief. I hope that they can track that down, because it is the single biggest audience hit that you can make. The ones that, with the article that was on DigiDay, you know, you had to have, for example, you know, you would, 4 million would buy 8 days at $500,000 per day of the top portion when you go to YouTube. And so, you know, it blocks out that area and, you know, it becomes a banner. Well, we are very familiar with banner blindness. So would they get the same amount of lift if they did that for, you know, 8 days? Or if they did 200 pieces of BuzzFeed sponsored content? A lot of you are saying, what's BuzzFeed? Well, then clearly for that demographic, for that audience, it wouldn't reach you. Unless it is then content that is shared out, you know, by the people who do go there. So, you know, it's a great question. It's a question that every business owner has to ask themselves, and they have to track it. And both Ashley and I are really big on the tracking component. Mm-hmm. Track where your dollars are going so you know where you should be putting them.
I did a bit of reporting on this when the Super Bowl was in Indiana last year. And the folks that I talked to, and Ashley Motia, maybe you can help suss this out a little bit. There does seem to be a pride component to these advertisements, though, too. You know, there are not that many companies, that many people who can say, oh, yeah, that was my company you saw for 30 seconds in the second quarter, the biggest audience event in the world.
Absolutely. I think it does boil down to kind of a prestige factor of, you know, hey, we're big time. We are on, you know, the Super Bowl advertising circuit. It's just like Kevin said, you know, the t-shirt company. I'd never heard of that t-shirt company before, but, you know, now they can say, well, we had a Super Bowl ad, so we've obviously arrived. But you have to weigh that prestige with the payoff. So if you're not tracking those payoffs, then it may not be the best avenue. So
I want to talk a little more about the social media winners here in just a few moments. But speaking of social media, we've had a few folks get in touch with us. Ryan on Twitter says the Dodge Farmer ad was the best one for him. Chrissy says, I feel stupid for loving it, but I couldn't stop laughing at the Volkswagen ad. And one we haven't talked about, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, the Volkswagen ad, I personally didn't, it didn't resonate with me. I thought it was moderately funny, but you know, that's the beauty of this is, a different commercial is going to speak to a different audience and not everybody's going to get it. So the Taco Bell commercial really resonated well with the group that I was hanging out with, and it scored pretty well in the Twitter chats that I was in. But, you know,
this was senior citizens having a night on the town.
Yeah. Yeah. Senior citizens acting like children, which I encourage more of. You know, and then you look at the Audi Bravery Wins, the prom deal where he gets, you know, punched in the eye. And you know, all of those are speaking to different audiences. But again, we go back to, what's the overall sales lift? What can you attribute it to this? Did you speak to the right audience? That's what you really have to go back and look at.
It looks like we have a caller on the line here. And, of course, we want to hear from lots of folks this hour. The number 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Let's get Jerry on the line here. Jerry, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Nice to talking with you.
Thanks very much for being with us. Go ahead.
Well, I think I might be among a lot of people. I have a DVR, and I just recorded the whole ball game and then rushed through the commercials, just spun right through them, didn't see any of them.
Wow.
Oh, you missed the best part, Jerry. It was – no, I'm joking.
Well, that was quite a game the whole – half hour power outage made for quite a while.
Yeah, that was
DVR.
The only thing that interrupted me was the half an hour of power outage. Then I had to go change channels, but it was still being recorded.
Sure. Well,
I rushed right through that too.
Jerry, let me put this to the panel a little further here. This obviously is a big concern. It has been for years now, a big concern among advertisers that people can record and fast forward. This event maybe seems a little different in that the commercials are often celebrated. Kevin, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, when you buy any type of advertising, you know that 100% of the people that are going to view that magazine piece, that newspaper piece, or that TV commercial are not going to be your audience. You realize that 100% of them aren't even going to see it. You can look through a magazine, and if you open it and you're on the inside fold versus the front page, you may, and it's a small ad, you may miss that. You're not going to reach 100%. Marketers understand that. The question is, do you reach enough people to see a return on your investment on that bit? The other thing is that when you're doing that you're thinking through that advertising in that audience. This is why multi-channel marketing has become so important. This is why you can no longer rely on ABC, CBS, NBC, and well, then later Fox, because they don't control the game anymore. There is a whole percentage of people that are off on Hulu. There's another percentage of people that are off on Netflix. There's a group of people that have said, the heck with all of it, I'm not doing any of that anymore. So it can no longer be about just one channel providing 100% of your lead generation or your audience speaking to them.
Ashley Montilla, yeah. does that resonate with you? Needing even during these gigantic audience events, needing to attack from multiple angles, so folks like Jerry who may fast forward through commercials may get the message another way.
Absolutely. I think one aspect to mention is that you have a lot of people who tune into the Super Bowl simply for the ads. So while you have people who are only interested in the game and they fast forward through the commercials, you also have a significant amount of people who are completely
not football fans.
It's true, absolutely, Jerry. You have other people who are completely ignoring the game and just focusing on the ads. There were a lot of people who said, I don't really even like football, or I don't really care about the two teams that are playing. But that whole commentatorship of the advertising, people really feel like they have a part of that. And then that kind of segues into social media, where if you're on Twitter, Facebook, even Instagram now, you're going to get exposed to these things because people are talking about them.
Had this been Jerry Rice and Joe Montana? No, I'm sorry. And I think, what we've seen is that several of the advertisers took advantage of this. They were simultaneously doing things in the social channels while this was going on. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we're probably going to talk about here briefly is the fact that Oreos made a huge splash by capitalizing on the blackout. And Twitter actually released the information that it took 4 minutes for somebody to contact them to attempt to purchase power outage as a sponsored item.
And there was a Twitter handle by before the outage was done, Super Bowl Lights, commenting on their own, the fact that they were out in the first place.
And that comes kind of back into this, what really developed as a result of this blackout, and has been happening for years, but not with this much fodder, was comedy. It is people on the, you can't give Twitter people that much time. So it kind of devolved into Comedy Bowl instead of Super Bowl.
We're going to take a quick break here. Jerry, thank you for your call and for adding that perspective to this. We need to take a break. We'll get dive deeper into the social media aspect of the game when we get back. In the meantime, we'd love for you to get a hold of us. What worked for you? What didn't work for you during the Super Bowl in terms of ads or the game, or how you interacted with either? 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Stay with us. The program continues when we return.
Millions Millions of families around the U.S. are known as mixed status, one household in which some family members are in the country as legal residents and others aren't. For those families, Washington's plans for immigration reform are less theoretical and more personal. I'm Celeste Headlee, Mixed Status Families, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Bob Mayer. Join me Tuesday nights on WBOI for Tossed Jazz Salad, an eclectic mix of assorted styles of jazz with some standards, some bop, a bit of cool, and a pinch of swing. Tuesday nights from 7 to 9.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Baden, Gage & Schrader, CPAs providing audit, accounting, and tax services to businesses, including personal financial and estate planning, online at badencpa.com. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, ensuring children and youth have opportunities and skills to succeed in school and life. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org/education.
It's 12:34. It's Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Susan Burns is with us as well, and joining us for this special edition of the program, it's Kevin Mullett and Ashley Motia. And we're talking during this part of the program about the ad game during this weekend's big football game called the Super Bowl. You may have watched it or fast-forwarded through parts of it. We want to know what worked for you and what didn't work for you. Did you have a favorite ad or a favorite, perhaps, interaction with the game via social media? We'd love to hear from you. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Facebook page is up as well. You can always tweet us at Midday Matters. And if you'd like, you can email us. It's middaymatters@nipr.fm. And we were talking over the break here about a few more of the ads that we haven't gotten to. Fred brings up a good point. I think probably a lot of people share. The Jeep Oprah commercial left me with a lump in my throat, but there doesn't seem to be much discussion about it. Wonder why. And Susan, you were echoing this a bit over the break.
Yeah. Fred, actually, it's because I hadn't said my favorites yet. And that Oprah Jeep ad about with the USO as one of the partners was definitely one of my favorites. And until I saw the Dodge Farmer Paul Harvey script ad. And it was there was a warm emotion. Same thing with the Bud Weiser Colt, really good, heartwarming kind of thing. But then, you see that connection, as Kevin was saying, about the product and the commercial. And it was kind of a eye-opener to me to think about which one's going to sell what they're promoting. Of course, well, I guess Jeep delivered the veteran to her home, mm-hmm. and so that connects you to the car. But it was more about
more
feelings.
Can it be, Kevin Mullett, too much about good feelings, about that lump in your throat?
Sure. I mean, I think as Ashley pointed out with the Clydesdale commercial is, I mean, you know, I heard a ton of awes in the room, but they're not necessarily beer drinkers, and I'm not sure that that would cause them to drink beer. I mean, maybe, I don't know. But with the Paul Harvey bit, I mean, to be quite honest, I think Oprah got dunked on. I mean, I think that, basically everybody loves troops, but farmers buy trucks. And, you know, this goes back to something that Anthony has said multiple times when we're here, Anthony Giuliano, and that is, you know, your target can never be everybody. And I felt like that's the mistake that the troop ad did, is the Jeep just, well, and that, and the other thing is I seen several people tweet, they were a little put off by the fact that they too conspicuously put product placing through the commercial. At least with the Dodge commercial, you get all the way to the end. And I mean, you're still asking yourself, what the heck is this about? Oh, it's a Dodge commercial. I see the fit with that. Yeah.
It seems like every Super Bowl Sunday, you know, when it's all over, we have conversations like this. There are a number of, you know, funnier ads that we talk about, but usually only one dramatic prestige ad. If I'm correct, do we only have room in our heads for one prestige ad per Super Bowl?
I don't think that. All three, the Clydesdales. I think Oprah's ad is memorable. I think people are talking about it, and the Paul Harvey ad. You know, we had the Halftime America with Clint Eastwood last year, and that was one that definitely seemed to win out last year.
Sure, and the year before that, the imported from Detroit,
imported
Chrysler
from Detroit
commercials.
I think there's room for more than one, but I think you ultimately have to go back to the execution, which is one of them was targeted to an audience. It's not 100% of the audience that's watching. But it was targeted to the right audience, and it spoke to them, and they're going to remember that.
We have a few comments via social media here. Rick says last night he watched the Super Bowl and watched the commercials, I should say, and fast-forwarded through the game. So, well, I think a lot of folks are probably in your camp there, Rick. We also, let's see, we've got a Facebook comment here, if we can get it to come up. We'll get to Facebook in just a minute here.
I had quite a few of my people. I tossed out the question, their favorite, their funniest, et cetera, like that. And pretty much it was tied. The Tide Montana stain, the Paul Harvey was the best, and the worst was GoDaddy naturally. And that was resonated by several of them. A few had Doritos Fashionista Daddy in there, and yeah, the Oreo was liked by a few people too.
And we've danced around it a bit here. Let's dive in. Ashley Motia, a lot of folks on Twitter, on Facebook, elsewhere, not only sharing their thoughts about the game, but it seemed like even more, at least in my Twitter feed, sharing a lot about the ads. And one particular comment that came up just minutes after the blackout happened in New Orleans came from Oreo. Could tell us a little bit about what happened?
Well, Oreo, the geniuses that they are, understood that during the blackout, during the Super Bowl, a lot of people were bored. They were looking at the phones. There's no action going on with the game on the TV. Tweets per minute jumped to 231,000. So a lot of people were just chatting online about what was going on, the ads that they liked, and Oreo jumped out there with power out, no problem, and they attached a picture that had a very minimal advertisement for it, just a single cookie sitting there, and it says, "You can still dunk in the dark." And that thing took off like wildfire. It had over 15,000 retweets and thousands of favorites. It just was the right ad at the right time.
And what I'm curious about is they may see a better overall lift from that moment, which took time and effort to do, by the way. And they had executives with Oreo in with the team at the same time of the company that was helping them with this. But I'm curious of whether they see a better lift from that than they do the actual commercial.
I'm sure it could be argued that ad would have more momentum than some of the other ones.
Their Instagram account, which was promoted at the end of the actual commercial, not this piece that we're talking about, essentially went from it grew about 25,000 to 30,000 people after the Super Bowl was over. But that's not really converting people into buyers to send them to Instagram. They'll have an audience with them. They'll be top of mind. Mm-hmm. But
that kind of leads to my next question, and the once the inevitable kind of backlash, I guess, started about you know, everybody being excited about Oreo's image, that tweet, does this sell cookies? At the end of the day, they got their ad in front of a lot of eyes, but that's the $4 million question, I suppose. Does that convert into sales? Can it?
I believe it can, and I mean, you know, Oreo has been doing a wonderful job with social media. Beside, you know, the Super Bowl, they're really on it. They're top notch team. They're kudos to them. They're doing a really good job. Yeah, I think it can, you know, keep in the back of people's head. That's, you know, the awareness thing. The reason you do awareness is so that they remember when they're at the supermarket. Creates brand affinity. Oh, I love Oreo. I love the brand. They're cute. You know, whatever. And that's, quite frankly, that's what M&M's trying to do too. M&M's is doing essentially the same thing. So if you look at the two major candies in that group, then M&M's got served because Oreos really, really came out swinging and hit it out of the park.
We do need to take a quick break here for the news. We'll continue the conversation, though, when we return. And we want to hear from you. What were your favorite ads? How did you interact with the game? Or was there something you saw or read online that you just hated? We'd love to hear that, too. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Stay with us back in 4 minutes.
These days, when anyone can self-publish a book, how can big publishing houses keep up? They were once the literary gatekeepers, but now?
We are gatekeepers to a certain extent, but they're really, really big gates.
Later, a soon-to-be publishing CEO looks ahead at challenges and opportunities in the corner office. That's today on All Things Considered from NPR News. That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Fort Wayne's police chief says four of his officers were suspended last month for policy lapses that included one officer who lacked a valid driver's license. Chief Rusty York told the city's Board of Public Safety on Monday that each of the disciplined officers received between 1 and 3 days of unpaid suspension time. One 27-year department veteran received a one-day suspension for not having a valid driver's license and not wearing a seatbelt. Those violations were discovered after the officer was involved in an on-duty crash. Another officer received a 3-day suspension for violating the department's firearms and use of force policy. That officer violated those rules by firing a warning shot in the air outside a restaurant to break up a fight. A Republican state senator wants each state agency to set aside 10% of its contracts each year for veteran-owned small businesses. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, supporters say the measure will help reduce veteran unemployment.
Governor Mike Pence signed an executive order his first day in office establishing a goal of procuring 3% of state contracts for veteran-owned businesses. Proposed legislation would expand that to 10%, something American Legion State Commander Richard Jewell says could help reduce veteran unemployment, which is double the state rate.
Veteran-owned businesses tend to hire veterans. So we look at this as not only a great opportunity for the veteran-owned businesses in the state of Indiana, but it also as an opportunity to put those newest patriots back to work.
Indianapolis Democratic Senator Greg Taylor says while help for veteran-owned businesses is needed, the proposed bill may run into constitutional problems. Taylor says his concerns are based on his experience with a similar program, the Minority and Women-Owned Business Preference.
You have to show a history of disparity in order to have the goal set. So in order for this program to hold muster and actually pass legal scrutiny, we need to have a disparity study to include veteran-owned businesses.
Taylor says until that kind of study can be done, the issue is best left to the governor's executive order and the State Department of Administration. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Services honoring Bishop Emeritus John Darcy will be held this week in South Bend and Fort Wayne so people can pay their respects to the man who led the Diocese of Fort Wayne-South Bend for 24 years. A reception of the body and morning prayer will be held 10 a.m. Wednesday at St. Matthew Cathedral in South Bend, followed by visitation throughout the day. Rosary will begin at 5 p.m. Bishop Kevin Rhodes will celebrate Mass at 7 p.m. The same schedule will be held Thursday at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Fort Wayne. On Friday, visitation will be from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. The funeral Mass will be held at noon, followed by a reception at the Grand Wayne Center. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
It's 12:47. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we're talking this hour with Kevin Mullett and Ashley Motia about the big winners, big losers during this weekend's Super Bowl event. Not just the fans or a certain Baltimore football team, but in terms of advertising as well. We do want to hear from you. What worked for you during the Super Bowl? What worked for you in terms of what you saw on the television and also how you interacted with the game and with brands. 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at @middaymatters. And we have a comment here on our Facebook page. Steve says, I know the focus today is advertising, but do you know what else $4 million could buy? Nearly 100 Habitat for Humanity homes. No idea how many tons of food for Community Harvest or for a similar group. But that illustrates the point, Kevin Mullett, that these are not small amounts of money for just 30 seconds of time.
Oh, absolutely. And, I'm sure that each one of these marketing and ad execs, they sit back and they have to look at what will move the needle. So there's an argument to be made. It's not a popular argument. But if the company isn't solvent and isn't, meeting their goals and their objectives, then they can't give philanthropically to other organizations. So we love to look at that. It's a great point. We love to look at that and say they could have done more social good with that, but you can't do social good if you're broke.
Another comment here from Daniel on our Facebook page. Daniel says, remember a few years ago about Smart Grid? Was not the blackout a huge ad for smart energy tech? And it's all about presentation at the end of the day. You can spend all of this money, but Ashley Motia, if you don't have an effective message or an effective way to get it across, you're sunk.
Absolutely. Something that really kind of surprised me was that about 25% of the ads that aired had no integration of the multi-channel. They had no URL. They had no even like icons that say, hey, we're on social media. Come chat with us. I thought the most effective ones were the ones that used hashtags. And because Twitter is becoming such a huge conversation arena. The hashtag inclusion is up 31% over last year. So people are starting to get it, but that 25% says that a lot of people are still lagging, that they don't understand that people want to continue the conversation about these ads and generate buzz.
Exactly. And the ones that included the .com thing, thinking GoDaddy and cars.com, both had that as part of their brand name now. So
well, and 8% had Facebook page only. 10% included Facebook with, others. 17% included Twitter hashtag and URL. There was half of the ads had something to do with Twitter. Now, what we didn't see was QR codes. So this year I did not have to attack my TV phone pulled out trying to scan a QR code, which I am all for. That's great that we got rid of that.
Kevin, I know you're a big advocate for correct QR code usage. Is the QR code going away?
No, just not with the TV. No. It's not unless it's sitting in the bottom right-hand corner, persistent through the entire length of the commercial. And that's something else that we've seen here, is that what I was concerned about, jumping off of what Ashley's saying here, is they were too quickly placed. the people that were running this did not realize that your attention is elsewhere in a party environment. You know, when you're when you're looking at this, you can't flash the hashtag for 3 seconds at the end and expect that you're going to get adoption. You can't. I'm sorry, creative folks. You can't use the URL that's a custom URL or whatever and place it in 10-point type at the bottom lower right hand corner. In a similar color to the background and think that people are going to be able to remember what that is in 2 seconds. Hmm. And dadgummit, people, icons are notifications. They are not calls to action.
Explain that.
So for example, one of the ads, I'm trying to remember which one it was, you get to the end of it, and it was a Hyundai, the turbo one, where he's following the horse and then the guy and the missiles and everything like that. And you get to the end, and there is a Facebook icon, a Twitter icon, and a YouTube icon, and then a short URL. And it flashes there for 2 seconds, 1001, 1002, it's gone. Okay, what do you want me to do? What is my next step? And this is a big problem with the people that are doing this, is they're not connecting the dots. And then when they do, a la Coke, who actually drove people to a website and said, do something. When you arrived, the first time I arrived, the site was down. This reminds me of Vizio about 4 years back. They had the same problem. The second thing is, okay, now I'm at your website, and now it says vote. And so I vote. And then it says, would you like to vote again? Well, no, not really. Now I'm less interested. They didn't capture my information. They didn't offer to give me a coupon if I gave them an email address, or they didn't offer a coupon if I tweeted out their message or anything. There was no continuation. The multi-channel approach worked, and then it stopped.
I just want to talk briefly about this because we're running out of time in the program. But not everybody was all eyes on the game or all eyes on Twitter while they watched the game. There were a few organizations that were actually able to change the conversation via social media. Kevin, could you tell us just a little bit about that? In terms of folks going elsewhere, away from the game itself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we're back to that multi-channel situation. And you say, well, okay, there's Puppy Bowl and there's, other activities and so forth. And so what I was able to see, which is going to be different from each person, but there were several advertisers that when I jumped over to my Facebook feed, I seen that Audi had simultaneously placed an ad with Facebook to promote the commercial again. And also GoDaddy had done that, and they had tied it to a promotion. And this is smart of them. So a friend of mine likes GoDaddy's Facebook page. Okay, I won't hold it against him, but anyway. then a related post shows up in my stream because I'm friends with him. And GoDaddy has paid a bunch of money. The kiss may last forever, but our 47% off sale won't. Big 40%, picture of Danica. Boom. That catches your attention. You just seen the commercial run, and now you have contiguous marketing occurring in a different channel. Mercedes-Benz did it with Twitter. They purchased that. So...
And in fact, there were organizations, PBS, for example, they were able to draw folks away from the Super Bowl during the blackout.
Oh, yeah. So Mark Cuban, PBS did it. Hey, we've got shows going on right now. Mark Cuban, which kind of goes into the comedy bit again, everybody became a comedian. Mark Cuban tweeted during the blackout and said, you can watch Shark Tank. It's on right now over here.
Yeah. I think that shows the power just of being in these different channels in the first place. When you see an opportunity, be ready to strike with that opportunity.
Ashley started, and maybe she can comment more on this, you have to be prepared. This isn't just scheduling. Right?
You have to be prepared. I think Oreo had done a picture that had a bouquet of Oreos, and they had, let's see if I can find it. They had... It said, that performance was so crazy, playing off of Beyonce's hit. And then they have a picture, and it says, we're crazy in love with you. they could have planned that regardless. That's something that you can plan for. You can automate. But things like seizing an opportunity when there's a blackout, you absolutely cannot automate that. It has to be in the moment. It has to be the right kind of sentiment. And if you have that magic mix, it can really take off. That PBS tweet about, hey, it might be a great time to think about alternative scheduling. We have Downton Abbey. that had over 3,000 retweets. So, I mean, it plays on the popularity of that show.
And 6.6 million viewers during the Super Bowl, a pretty big accomplishment for any network. Just about 3 minutes left in the program here. This has been a fun discussion. And Ashley Motilla, we'll start with you. What can local businesses, what can local folks take away from what they saw during the Super Bowl, what they saw during those ads, and apply in their own spheres here in northeastern Indiana?
I think Kevin's really touched on it, that you have to have a cross-promotional frame of mind. People want to talk about these things. You need to give them successful channels to do that. You can't just drive somebody to a Facebook page where there's nothing else going on. You're not going to retain those people. You're not going to keep their interest. Your message has then failed. The 25% of ads on Super Bowl night not having any kind of integration for multi-platform marketing just flabbergasts me. The other thing was that 88% of the activity going on during the Super Bowl was mobile. I don't think people are optimized for that, website or otherwise. I just don't think that they're quite caught up with the fact that everybody's on tablets and phones now instead of sitting at a computer.
The second device is huge right now. Mm-hmm. Second device viewing. That is why there's some apps out there like Viggle and Into Now and Get Glue and you know, how are people look, do you have somebody that is providing a strategy for you, whether that's somebody like myself or somebody like Ashley, that is providing a strategy for you so that you get more than just one hit? You're not getting just that first initial. How do you tie that all together and make that work? You can't automate your way through this. Social media is free to use. It is not free to do. Preparation and it offers. Sometimes you got to put an offer out there to get that second hit.
But all of these things, they can't be done haphazardly. Kevin, you've talked about this on previous shows. You actually have to plan these things, to put money into these things, to put people into these things.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to think about this as this is the new way going forward to reach an audience. This doesn't mean that you forego radio. This doesn't mean that you forego TV. This means you try and figure out how you can tie that all together. And that's the rest of the story.
Kevin, you may have a career in radio if this tech thing doesn't work out. We want to thank our guests for being with us. Kevin Mullett from Cirrus ABS, Ashley Motilla from the Asher Agency. Susan Burns, thank you very much as well.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Sean.
I appreciate all of our listeners interacting with us today and, of course, for tuning in. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. And streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Fresh air is next. It's 1 o'clock.